There's a lot of pictures that we see all through how the enemy will lie. The enemy will lie.
Amen.
Enemy can't tell no truth. Amen. Scripture says that there's no truth in Satan whatsoever. None. No truth in him whatsoever. He's a liar, a deceiver, a murderer from the beginning. And he's always out for himself. Just like we see with this other incident in chapter 13. What do we find in chapter 13? We see a picture of who? Amnon, one of David's sons. And Amnon had a friend. And what was that friend's name? Jonadab. Y'all remember Jonadab?
Cousin.
He was a cousin. That's right. He was a blood relative. But Jonadab was a player. He was crooked. And Jonadab reminds me a lot like pity. You know, pity. Pity's your friend. But soon as you fall and fail, your friend's going to forsake you.
Yeah.
Same way. You see this picture here. That's what Jonadab looks like. And he suggests things to him. Look. Go to chapter 13. Chapter 13. There's a lot of things we could learn through all this. Oh, Jonadab. You don't want a friend like Jonadab. Jonadab suggested some things to him. On a fed Amnon's flesh, he fueled his folly, he fanned his fame, and he forsook him when he failed. If I was you, I'd put above Jonadab's name self-pity. Self-pity. Pity, pity party, self-pity. Pity will do the same thing. It'll feed your flesh. Pity will fuel your folly. Pity will fan your fame. And pity will forsake you when you fail. That's exactly what Jonadab did. Remember, Amnon had a thing for his sister. They had different mamas. They were half-sisters. And he was just bent on this girl, on his sister. It had him messed up. I mean, he became sick. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't visit with people. He just isolated himself. You know, when you're having those pity parties, how you do that? Who shows up? What does the scripture say in verse number 3? But Amnon had a what? Y'all remember this. I'm just telling you the same thing we see Jonadab doing. This is what pity does. Pity ain't your friend. And all God's people said,
amen.
Pity ain't your friend. Remember, where's pity from? It's from the devil. It's from the devil. It's from the devil. Self-pity, having pity parties. I told you before, don't host any pity parties and don't accept any invitations to a pity party. They're just like Jonadab. What did Jonadab do? Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, whose name was self-pity. He was the son of Shimea, David's brother. Now Jonadab was a very what? Shrewd or crafty or subtle man. I'm telling you, pity will defeat you, will corrupt you, and manipulate you every time. You are not going to overcome pity by being a friend with pity. Are you with me? It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Verse 4, and when he said to him, why are you the king's son? He's fanning his fame. You the king's son. Becoming thinner day after day. Why are you not eating? Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love my sister Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Now, notice how he does that. Whose sister was she? She was Amnon's sister, but a half-sister, but she was Absalom's full sister because they had the same mama. That's why he's trying to make himself feel a little bit better about this situation. What did Jonadab do in verse number 5? So Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. See, pity's going to suggest things to you that he did. Look at who you are. You are the son of the king. And as a son of the king, what do you need to do? Take what you want. You have every right to it. You know what pity's going to tell you? This is your right to feel this way. But it's not going to encourage you to get right with God. Are you with me? Think about it. That's an Esau spirit. Remember, Esau is what humanity does. Esau wants the blessing. Scripture says Esau sought the blessing. He sought it with tears. But he never found room for repentance. You know why? He sought what he thought was his right. But he didn't seek to be right with God. That's what pity would do for us. It'll say, hey, don't you have the right? Don't you? They say that's our society today. Humanity without God. Everybody will fight for their rights, but we don't see the majority fighting to be right with God. They're just fighting for what they think is their right. That's why they're marching down the streets, right? That's why they're burning buildings. That's why they're doing what they're doing. On the job, people, when they feel like they're getting mistreated, they feel like they have the right, and they'll fight for their right, but they will not oftentimes fight to be right with God. And sometimes when you're right with God, you get walked on. Sometimes when you're right with God, you get mistreated. Isn't that what Jesus teaches us? Isn't that exactly what Peter, when Jesus said that if a man wants to come follow me, he must what? Deny himself, take up his cross, his assignment, and then what? Come after me. Why did he say that? He said that just after he rebuked Peter. Why did he rebuke Peter? Because Jesus said that the leaders of Israel were about to take advantage of him, that they were going to abuse him, that they were going to beat him, that they were going to kill him. And what did Peter do? Peter said, no, you don't need to go through that. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve that at all. Have mercy on yourself. That ain't right. That you've done nothing to be treated that way. You don't deserve that. And what was his suggestion to Peter? What did he tell Peter? Get behind me who? You know what Satan used Peter to attempt to do with Jesus? To make Jesus feel sorry for himself. That he didn't have to go through what he was about to go through. That's exactly what was happening. Why? And that's what he told Peter. You are more mindful. What he told Satan as he was speaking to Peter, he said, you are more mindful of men and not the things of God. Because walking with the Lord oftentimes puts us in a position where we do suffer. We are mistreated. We are misused. We are taken advantage of. But if I find myself fighting more for my rights, what I think is rightfully mine, and it takes priority over me being right with God, I'm doing no different than what Satan suggested Peter to suggest to the Lord to do. I'm doing no different than what Esau did. I'm seeking the blessing, what I think is right, but not to be right. And that's what Jonadab did, and that's what pity will do. Pity will do that for me. We've all been there. Have you been there before?
Yeah.
Why? Because man is mindful of the things of man, and that's what will entice us, and that's what he says. So Jonadab said to him, lie down. This is verse 5. Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill, and when your father comes in to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand. Verse 6, then Amnon did that and pretended. So this is a couple things that he told him to do. Just remember this. This is what pity will do. It says, look who you are. You don't deserve to be treated that way. You are a son of God or a child of God or a child of the king. You're an American citizen or whatever it may be. Take what is yours. Take what is rightfully yours. Number 2, the rules don't apply to you. You're different. The rules doesn't apply to you. And then three, take advantage of those who trust you. You see how he suggested to take advantage of those who trust you? What did he do? He said, pretend that you are what? Sick. And then when your father comes in and asks you, pretend that you're sick and pretend that what's going to help you is that your sister comes in. Your father's going to trust you. He's going to believe that you're sick, you look sick, you hadn't been eating, you are sick, you're having trouble, you're consumed with this thought. Take advantage of that. Play on that. And you see, these are the types of things, Brother Shannon, that pity is going to suggest to us.
Amen.
It's a Jonadab. Pity is not your friend.
Come on.
And Jonadab was not Amnon's friend. He put him in a position because Amnon was fighting it, wasn't he? He was fighting what was going on in his spirit. He knew what he felt, but he knew what he felt wasn't right. And he had conviction happening within him not to do it. But pity came alongside and says, you have the right to it. Look who you are. Take what you want, Amnon. And then take advantage of those around you that trust you. Take advantage of them. That's what pity will do. So we see that he fed his flesh. He poured fuel on that folly that was going on in him. He fanned his flame that you are son of David. You can do as you please. Boy, you royalty. Who's going to say anything to you? But I want to tell you, Amnon, he fell. He raped his sister. And then it created all kind of trouble, didn't it?
Yeah.
From there. Now, this is, we know the consequences. All this started with who? David. This all started with David, no doubt. And where was Jonadab when Absalom started plotting to kill his brother? But did he do anything? Did he stand up and go to David and said, look, I know what Amnon did, but I was behind it. I'm the one who encouraged him to do that. Man, David, he's your son, and he's a prince, and he has the right to do that. Did he do that? No, not at all. Matter of fact, he's going to try to play on David. You read it. He played on David, didn't he? Remember when Absalom invited all the brothers to come out? And word got back that Absalom killed, and David thought he killed all his sons.
Yeah.
But Jonadab was standing there by him. Come here, Stephanie. He liked pity. The delight of my eyes. Jonadab was standing there by Uncle David.
Yeah.
He said, oh, David, don't worry. Absalom didn't kill all of them. He just killed Amnon. He knew. He said, from the day that he raped his sister Tamar, Absalom had it in his heart that he was going to kill Amnon.
Yeah.
Well, riders show up. Messengers start coming. David's boys start showing up. And the word comes that the only person that died was who?
Amnon
that day. Guess what? Jonadab's right there. He said, King, Uncle David, Didn't I tell you that it was only Amnon? You see, he forsook his cousin. He forsook his family in their failure because that's what pity will do. That's what a bad friend will do. That's what a fleshly friend that'll fuel your folly and feed your flesh and fan your fame. They're going to forsake you when you fall because you're going to fall.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be there to help get you back up. They're going to let it all play out. Why? Because if he can play Absalom, because he did, he's going to play Absalom. If he can play David, he's going to play David. Why? Because pity shows no partiality. It's going to play whoever will play its game.
That's right.
It'll be a friend to you. You can sit down, pretty girl. And it will. You see the parallels here.
This was his...
His daddy was David's older brother. And there's only three named. There was like seven or eight brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Was there something about him that the family said, well, you know, I should have been king. I should have. There's something to this also that I see here that he has been taught all of his life where we should have been, where we should really be.
It began with Jesse. Even Jesse didn't think David was king quality.
Right.
He just knew it would be
one of these seven other
young
men.
Didn't even bring David out that day.
Yeah.
Never would in a million years thought it could have been him, but he was the one. So there's some potential there that within the family circles, you know, when we see that just in the natural plane of the people we've been around as well, that some maybe make it up to some kind of prominence within society and another one didn't, and they always feel like they got the short end of the stick, or they should have been the one in there themselves, and they were no better than we were, you know, my side of the family,
right.
From that perspective, good possibility.
I mean, but he is in David's house playing the game.
Right, right. He's playing the game. There's other people involved. You know, for an example, Joab. Who is Joab, David's commander?
Yeah, general.
That is David's nephew. He's one of David's nephew. His sister, or his mama, was David's sister. And remember, he had a brother that was killed?
Yeah.
That was David's nephew that was killed. And Joab is going to do some things. Eventually, David is going to tell Solomon to kill Joab before he dies. He says, I'm not going to kill him, but you don't let his gray head go down without being killed. You kill him because of some of the things that he did.
Right.
And so you see how some of this family stuff, no different than another picture here, just something to throw out. We talked a little bit about it Sunday night. Remember we talked about Ahithophel, how he was the grandfather of Bathsheba,
right.
And how his son and his granddaughter's husband were mighty men that fought for David. Well, there was another boy. Amiel had a son, Bathsheba's brother, and he's the guy, Machir, who was actually housing Mephibosheth. That's a family relation there.
Yeah.
So it's just when you start putting all these things together and you realize even after Ahithophel is going to rebel against David with Absalom in the next 2 days you're reading, you're going to see it. His grandson, Machir, is actually going to line himself up with David, even though his grandfather went against David. He's kind of like a Barnabas of the Old Testament. He took care of the underdog, like Mephibosheth. He housed and took care of him. He was the underdog. When all the nation starts following after Absalom, and you have David, he's going to line himself up to take care and bring supplies to David. Very similar to Barnabas in the New Testament. He was a son of encouragement. He was with Paul, and he wanted John Mark with him, and he encouraged him. And then when Paul said, no, he can't come, he left Paul and took John Mark under his wing and walked with him. Machir seems like a very similar type guy, but that was Bathsheba's brother. Bathsheba's brother. So it's all just a neat picture when you start really looking in of the family dynamics and how all this played out. And you're looking at Jonadab and Amnon and Absalom and Tamar, and you see these things. They just great picture. There's a lot to learn, but there's a lot that we can glean every time we go through it. But think about it. Pity is not your friend. It's not your friend. It's not your friend. Just recognize that. I pray that'll help you in the days ahead, because pity's going to show up and knock at your door.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to show up and it's going to ask, what's wrong with you? Tell me. And boy, it's going to fuel your folly. It's going to feed your flesh. It's going to fan the flame. But when you take the nosedive down, pity's going to move on to the next person.
Yeah, be gone.
But a true friend won't. A true Christian friend won't. Yes, ma'am. 14:14. Read it to us real quick before we go. That was great counsel, wasn't it? Remember what happened? Joab got this wise woman and told her to pretend like she had a problem. Because he wanted to see his uncle, even though he was older than David, he wanted to see his uncle reconciled with his son. So he used this woman to create this story that David got involved in and wanted to fix. And she said, wait a minute. Now you willing to fix a stranger's problem and see them reconciled and protect, but you're not willing to do it with your own son.
Yeah.
And David says, wait a minute. This sounds like Joab's behind this.
When David,
yeah. But yeah, that is a great word there.
When David
fought,
did things, he had a lot of discernment about things when his emotions were in. But when his emotions flew up, like when Nathan came and told him about the sheep and the man.
Yeah.
His emotions fired up.
He's ready to take care of business.
He was in all going every different direction. He couldn't see. And I think that was David let, from time to time, let his emotions.
He was a passionate guy.
Take him down a road somewhere they didn't want to need to go.
But he was always willing.
Yeah.
He was always willing when it was exposed that this is really you. What did he do?
Yeah.
It's me. He didn't lash out at Nathan.
No.
He didn't lash out at the woman.
No.
He didn't lash out at Joab. You know what David says? You're right.
Yeah.
I need to take care of this. Now, he did it to an extent, and I think this is where the problem keeps coming up. Remember he brought Absalom back?
Right, but didn't let him see him.
But he never would see him. And all that did was what? Build a deeper wedge of bitterness in the heart of Absalom to fight against his father. And that's what led to the revolt. Because he brought him home, but he never invited him over to his house. It was like, you can come, but I'm disappointed in you, and I don't want to see you. And that just ate at his heart.
Yeah.
And he took it when he could take advantage of it. He did,
right.
And that's where we see the fall of Absalom take place, and. Tremendous, tremendous principles and truths. And Lord willing, we'll jump back in this Sunday. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, thank you tonight. Ask you to bless this time we've had together. Help us. Help us. Help us in our daily walk. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love y'all. Y'all have a good night.